Okay, time to start Sunday school. I just want to warn you guys right off the bat, I'm really bad with names. So I'm not even going to try. I'll just point at you if you have the answer to a question or if you have a song you want to sing. So do any of you boys and girls have a song you want to sing this morning? Yes. Jesus loves me. I'm going to have to ask someone to help start this for me because I am not good at starting things.
Thank you.
Yes. Jesus who lives above the sky. Someone who knows my name. Sorry. Is that a number in our... That is in our handbook, isn't it?
56.
Jesus who lives above the sky came down to be a man and die. And in the
story, repeat, or record.
While they're young. So we just pray for each one here to say these things. In the most worthy and precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
All right. Can any of you guess what we're going to be talking about this morning? Yeah. Unclean animals. I guess you can read, right? So, unclean animals. And I wanted to talk about this topic because I know lots of boys and girls love animals. And when I was a little boy, I loved animals, and I still like animals. I don't know very much about them, but I think animals are very interesting. And the Word of God is full of animals. There's animals in a lot of different verses in the Word of God. So if you are interested in animals, I would just encourage you to read the Bible. There's lots of animals in there. If you can't read, you can ask mom or dad to read a verse to you from the Bible that has animals in it. But today we're going to be talking about unclean animals and some clean ones. But these animals are mentioned in Leviticus 11. So those of us here who have Bibles, we can turn there, but you kids don't need to turn there. Because I have some slides that will help us go through that. These animals are mentioned in Leviticus chapter 11. Now, some of what I'm going to talk about might be a little hard for you to understand. If you don't understand it, that's okay. I hope at least you can see how many animals there are in this passage. And hopefully, maybe that'll interest you in reading some more scripture that has animals in it, okay? But I hope at least some of you, learn some of these lessons. So these animals in Leviticus 11, there's, I believe, 30 or 35 different specific animals mentioned in this chapter. That's a lot of animals. And these animals are classified as clean or unclean for the Israelites. If they were a clean animal, that means the Israelites could eat them. If they were unclean, that means the Israelites could not eat them. Now, we are not under the law, and these rules are not for us, so we can eat any animals, right? But we can still learn some really nice lessons from these clean and unclean animals. So I wanted to go through some of these animals and see what lessons we can learn. Well, the first thing it mentions in this chapter as a requirement for, I believe it's beasts, which would be like cows and goats and sheep and those kind of animals. The first requirement that it had was that the animal had to have a cloven hoof for it to be clean. Does anyone here know what that means, to have a cloven hoof? It's kind of a funny word, isn't it? Cloven hoof, you don't really hear that. Yep, exactly. So it's a hoof that's divided in half. So I have a picture of it. There we go. So there's a picture of two hooves, and they're cloven. And I believe this is a deer. But you can see that there's a split right down the middle. And you can imagine a horse's hoof, right? A horse does not have a cloven hoof. Their hooves are all solid. They're one solid piece. But you can see here, these are split. And the cloven hoof allows these animals that have them to run along and climb and walk along really rough and rocky and difficult terrain. These hooves are very excellent for getting them through that terrain. So, have any of you boys and girls seen pictures or seen in person mountain goats? You have. So I've seen some pictures of them climbing some pretty steep cliffs. And it looks like some of these places they get to are impossible. I even saw a picture of one where there was a concrete dam that had just a very, very, very steep incline. It almost looked vertical, but there was goats up there somehow using their cloven hooves. They climbed up there and were licking the salt that was coming out of the walls of the dam. So these hooves allow them to walk through rough terrain without getting tripped up or bogged down by it. So what's the lesson we can learn from this? Well, we should, as Christians, I'm speaking to you boys and girls, if you're already saved and you're Christians, and I hope you are, but as Christians, we can have cloven hooves like these animals. And we can do that by walking through this world, walking through life without getting tripped up, without getting bogged down or distracted by the things that this world has to offer. And that might be a little hard to understand, but I'll just give you an example. If any of you boys go to public school or anything else like that where you meet other boys and girls who maybe aren't Christians, those boys and girls might do some bad things, or they might have some bad habits. Well, to have a cloven hoof would be to not be influenced by these boys and girls who have those bad habits, to not pick up those bad habits and not do those same bad things, but just to keep pleasing the Lord and not let those things affect you. So that's how we can have a cloven hoof. So what is the next requirement that this chapter lists? It is, animals must chew the cud for them to be clean. Animals must chew the cud. Does anyone else want to try and describe what chewing the cud is? Exactly. When an animal eats, when they bring the food that they've already eaten back up into their mouth to eat again. So here's a picture of a cow chewing, and here's a scientific diagram of chewing the cud. But you can see, might be hard to see, but on this diagram, it shows the cow eating the grass, swallow it, it goes down here into this area. I'm not sure if that's another stomach or what. And then it comes back up and around into this area. And eventually from there it turns into this red line, shoots back up into their mouth, they chew on it, swallow it, and then it's done. I'm not sure if that happens more than once or not, but they at least do it once. So that's an interesting thing, isn't it, for animals to do that, to chew on the same thing that they've already chewed on and swallowed. You know, I was at the Philadelphia Zoo a year or two ago, and there was a giraffe there. And giraffes have really long necks, right? Well, giraffes chew the cud, and their necks are so long, this cud, this food that they're bringing back up into their mouth to chew on again, has to go all the way back up their neck. And I remember at the zoo, you could see the lump moving up the giraffe's neck as it went back up into their mouth. It was pretty funny, because it took a few seconds for it to, from when it started to when it reached its mouth. And it was just kind of funny to see this lump moving up its neck, and then once it reached its head, it would start chewing. And then swallow a little while later again. Well, what's the lesson we can learn from this? So, as Christians, we should learn to chew the cud. And there's a little hint as to what this lesson is in the name of animals that chew the cud. Does anyone here know, I think it's the scientific name of animals that chew the cud? Any of you boys or girls? Any adults? Yes. Yes. They are ruminating animals. And that word ruminate has several meanings. I guess in the case of an animal that chews the cud, it's just talking about animals that chew the cud. But another meaning for ruminate is to meditate or think deeply about something. So if we are going to be like these animals, like this cow that chews the cud, how can we do that? Well, the first step is to read the Word of God. And I heard you boys and girls quoting some verses this morning. So it sounds like a lot of you already have step one complete. You're reading the Word of God. And for those of you that can read, I hope you read every day. For those of you who can't read, I hope you pay attention to Mom and Dad when they read the Bible to you in the morning or at night. That's the first thing we need to do. We're going to be like these animals that chew the cud. So the next thing we need to do is to meditate on it or to think about it. Think about what we read. You know, I remember when I was a boy, I was in elementary school. Mom would have a Bible reading in the morning at breakfast, and I remember sometimes I would be so tired that I would be at the table listening, and I would hear Mom reading, and it would be going in one ear and right out the other. That's not chewing the cud, is it? I wasn't thinking about what I was reading. So when we're reading the Bible, or when Mom or Dad are reading it to us, let's try and think about what they're reading. Think about what the words mean. Think about what God is telling us in those verses. And enjoy it, too. So that's how we can chew the cud like this cow. Well, animals had to have both of these things. It wasn't okay for an animal to chew the cud and not have a divided tooth. It wasn't okay for an animal to have the divided tooth and not chew the cud. It had to have both. And I think the lesson we can learn from this is that if we chew the cud, if we meditate, if we think about the words that Mom and Dad are reading to us, if we think about the words in the verses that we're reading, and we really think about them and enjoy them, and it should sink into our heart and get down to our feet. And you should obey those words. We're really thinking about them and enjoying them. You should then obey them. So an animal had to have both of these things. And one of the examples this chapter lists is a camel. Oh, I was actually going to have you guys guess what animal it was. But it's pretty obvious. It's a camel. Can any of you boys or girls guess if this is clean or unclean? Just remember, there's two requirements. It has to have a divided hoof, like those deer hoofs that we were looking at. And it has to chew the cud, like the cow. Anyone guess if this camel is clean or unclean? You think it's clean? Does anyone else over here?
Unclean.
Unclean, okay. Yes. Two guesses, clean or unclean. Well, you know, at first, you think it's probably clean, because camels definitely chew the cud, and their hooves look pretty divided, but Scripture tells us that they're unclean. And if you look closer at camel hooves, you can see on the screen here. There's a zoomed in picture of camel feet. They're actually not hooves, I don't think, or maybe they are called hooves. But they actually have two toes with toenails and not divided hooves. So the camel is unclean. The camel is like someone who thinks about the Word of God, reads it, and thinks about it, but then doesn't walk in it. And it's not good. We need to have both. We need to both read the Word of God, think about it, and then obey it. The next animal that it mentions, can anyone read that? Can anyone guess what this is? A rock badger? Wow, how'd you guess? Okay. Alright, yes, this is a rock badger. And you might read Tony in your Bible or some other word. It's really hard to know what are the exact animals that the original Hebrew meant, but the closest I could find was a rock badger. Did anyone guess, just from looking at this picture, if the animal is clean or unclean? You are the answer. Right. Unclean. Why do you think it's unclean? It doesn't have hooves. That's right. This animal is unclean. It's just like the camel. Apparently it chews the cud, but it doesn't have cloven hooves. Scripture tells us it's unclean. Alright, can anyone guess what this is?
A rabbit.
A rabbit. Yes, it is. Does anyone know another name for a rabbit?
A bunny.
A bunny, yep. Anyone else know another name? They have fuzz? Yeah. Another name is a hare, but it's the same thing, I think. Maybe there's a technical difference, but it's a hare or a rabbit. You want to guess if it's clean or unclean? It has long ears, yep. Can anyone guess if it's clean or unclean? Alright, in the middle. Unclean. Why do you think it's unclean? That's right. It doesn't have cloven hooves, just like the camel, just like the rock badger. It doesn't have cloven hooves. Alright, can anyone guess what this animal is? Yeah. It's a pig. That's right. It's a pig. Now this animal is different than the other ones we just read about. Anyone want to guess if it's clean or unclean?
Unclean.
You think it's unclean?
Clean.
Why do you think it's unclean?
Because it doesn't have
hooves. Well, it doesn't show it in this picture, but pigs do have hooves. So does anyone else want to guess? Yes. Yes. You're guessing it's clean, okay? What's your guess? You're guessing it's clean, okay. Alright, well, most of you said clean. But it's actually unclean. You know, pigs have hooves. And they have cloven hooves. They're divided. But pigs don't chew the cuds like a cow. They just eat whatever they can and swallow it. And don't think twice about it. And I know that from experience because we used to have pigs and they would eat anything you throw in there. So pigs are unclean. They are like someone who maybe is a good person. You look at them and you see how they walk and you can't find anything wrong. But they haven't been reading the Word of God and thinking about it. So their motivation for doing this is not right. They might be doing it to look good in front of mom and dad or someone else. But they are not chewing the cud. They're not reading the Word of God and thinking about it. So it is unclean. We need to have both. And remember, as Christians, we need to both think about the Word of God and obey it. All right. So the next thing it mentions are fish in the water. And it has some requirements for animals to be clean if they're in the water. The first requirement is that the fish had to have fins. You guys all know what the fins are on a fish?
Yeah.
I have a picture of them. So those are, I think those are fins. So the fins on a fish allow the fish to swim through the water. If the fish didn't have any fins, it'd be really hard for it to propel itself through the water, right? It would wiggle and move, but it probably wouldn't get very far. So the fins allow the fish to swim through that water. You know, as Christians, we can have fins like a fish too. And this one might be a little harder for you boys and girls to understand, but it's like us having spiritual energy to continue on pleasing the Lord as we walk through this world. If the fins on a fish propel it through the water, we need to have spiritual energy to keep us moving on and keep us pressing on to the Lord. You know, there might be times in our life where we get discouraged. Maybe we're playing with a friend and they keep taking one of our toys or doing something that we don't like, and we know that we should please the Lord, so we just let them go ahead and have that toy, or let them go ahead and do that thing that we don't like. But maybe they keep doing it over and over again, and we get so discouraged that we just give up and say, okay, I'm not going to please the Lord anymore. I'm going to get angry at this person and take this toy back. That's not having spiritual energy. You need to have spiritual energy, and despite the circumstances that we're in, despite whatever situation it is that we're in, just keep pleasing the Lord. And that energy can only come from the Lord. Alright, the next thing that the fish had to have is scales. So here's a close-up picture of scales. This is zoomed in pretty far. But that almost looks like some sort of armor, doesn't it? Like the fish has a surrounding of armor all around its skin. And this keeps the water out of the fish. And it just protects the fish as it swims through the water. So what's the lesson we can learn from this? Well, armor reminds us of something that we've learned about in the Word of God. And I'm sure you boys and girls have heard of armor in the Word of God, haven't you? I'm going to read a verse in Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. In verse 11, it says, put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. So the Lord has provided us armor that we can put on as we walk through this world. The devil is always trying to attack us, but the Lord has provided us some armor. So I'm just going to go over each part of the armor quickly, so that you can know how to have scales like a fish. So the first one is the loins girt about with truth. So we need to, as we've already spoken about, read the Word of God and learn the truth that's in it. We need to understand the truth. And as I said, meditate on it, learn the truth. That's how we have our loins girt about with truth. The next one is the breastplate of righteousness. So when we learn the truth, we need to obey it. We need to walk in it. We can't just learn the truth and then disobey it. We need to walk in this truth. The The next one is our Pete Shaw. What does it say actually in that chapter? Pete Shaw with the preparation of the gospel of peace, I believe. So, to have our Pete Shaw is to understand that we have peace with God. We need to have a clear conscience with Him if we're doing something in our life that doesn't please the Lord. We can't really have peace with Him, can we? It's hard to have peace with Him if we know we're not pleasing Him. So if we make sure that we're not doing anything bad, then we have a clear conscience and we can have peace with God. So that's how we can shod our feet. Alright, the next one is the shield of faith. So this would be to have confidence in God, to understand that He is for us, that He loves us, and that He can never stop loving us. Despite the circumstances, if we have that understanding, then we can have the shield of faith. So the next one is the helmet of salvation, I believe. Yes, the helmet of salvation. Do we understand and believe that the Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross for us? Do we know that our sins are all washed away? You know, I think sometimes, it happened to me when I was a younger boy, I was saved. I believed in the Lord Jesus Christ and I was saved. And I knew that, but a short while later after I was saved, I sort of got scared that maybe I wasn't actually saved. But you know, the Word of God tells us that once we're saved, we're always saved. And you can never be lost again. So we need to understand, if we are saved, we need to understand that our sins are all gone, that the Lord Jesus Christ has died on the cross and saved us forever. And the next one is the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. So we've already mentioned reading the Word of God and understanding it. Once we read the Word of God and get to know it, then we can use it against the attacks of the devil. This might be a little hard for you to understand, but I just want you to know that there are things we can do, things we can put on spiritually that allow us to have armor like these fish that have scales. Okay? So here's a question for you guys. Does anyone know what animal this is? Yes, it's a shrimp. Is a shrimp clean or unclean? Remember, it has to have fins and it has to have scales. Anyone guess? Unclean. Why is it unclean? Right, it doesn't have scales. And I don't know if it has fins or not either, but it definitely doesn't have scales. So this will be unclean. And I think all shellfish, like a shrimp, would be unclean, because none of those fish have scales, right? Crabs don't have scales, lobsters don't have scales. Can anyone tell me what type of fish this is? Yes. Big blue whale. Nope, not a big blue whale. Yes.
Shark?
Nope, not a shark.
Tuna.
Yes, that is a tuna. Does anyone want to guess if this is clean or unclean? Why is it unclean? What? It doesn't have scales, that's right. Tuna, could be wrong about this, but I'm pretty sure when I googled it, said that tuna don't have proper scales like most other fish. They have a smoother skin. So a tuna is unclean. At least this type of tuna. Alright. Well, the next category of animals that goes over are birds. That's right, it's a bald eagle. Alright, so the next animal is a bald eagle. That's me. Does anyone know what this is? The bearded vulture. Okay, this is the buzzard. Anyone see what it's eating? The dead rabbit. This is a falcon. It's unclean. It's just said it's unclean. This is the kite. It just says it's unclean. This is a hawk. Scripture says it's unclean. I'm sure you boys and girls all know what this is. It's an owl, that's right. Scripture says it's unclean. What's this? A gannet. Scripture says it's unclean. Ibis, unclean. Pelican, unclean. Condor. Unclean. Stork, unclean. Heron, unclean. Bat, unclean. So what do all these animals have in common? I gotta speed this up, so I'll try and go through this fast. Well, all of these animals eat other animals. They eat flesh. What's the lesson we can learn from this? Well, if the Word of God says that we need to have our thoughts in heavenly places, we shouldn't be earthly minded. These animals, they fly up in the sky, but they focus their gaze down on the earth and they feed on the flesh. So we don't want to be like them, right? They're unseen. We don't want to have our focus on our own fleshly interests. We don't want to be constantly trying to please ourselves, right? All right, let's go through this next group super quick. The raven, unclean. Ostrich, unclean. Seagull, unclean. Swan, unclean. Hippo, unclean. What do all these have in common? Well, they are all omnivorous, which means that they'll eat anything. I think it's sort of the same lesson as what we had from the first set of birds. We don't just want to have our thoughts and our what we feed on spiritually to be just anything. We need to feed on the Word of God. And think about heavenly things, not just whatever comes into our life. Flying insects are pretty much all marked as unclean. Flying insects fly around, they all have wings, but a lot of them crawl around on the ground. Yep, but a lot of them crawl around and their focus is on this earth. Focus, does anyone know if it's clean or unclean? It's an insect, but scripture says that it's clean. What about a cricket? It's an insect too. Yep, it's clean. The cricket is clean as well. So the locust and the cricket and other insects that have big old legs, see these big old legs behind the wings that allow it to jump? Those sorts of insects are clean. So the lesson that we can quickly learn from this is that we should have faith to rise above our circumstances. And I know that might be a little hard for you to understand, but there's a lesson in all of these animals. Here's a mole. Field mouse. A lizard, unclean. Gecko, unclean. Chameleon, unclean. So all these animals creep and crawl around on the earth, and they are little creeping critters. The Komodo dragon isn't little, it's big. But their focus, again, is earthly. They never look up. They're always looking down and focused down on the earth. And so we don't want to be like these animals, right? We want to have our focus heavenward. That's where the Lord Jesus is, and that's where we're going someday. Well, that was a really quick breeze through the second half. And I don't think that's every animal in there. It might be, but there's more animals listed in that chapter. I just hope you boys and girls remember that the Word of God is full of animals. If you enjoy them, you can read lots of scripture about animals. And when you look around outside and you see animals, remember there are lessons you can learn from them. So I hope I hope you boys and girls learned something today. Let's just close with a word of prayer. Our God and Father, we just pray for each one of these boys and girls today. Just pray that they learn something, and just pray that they will learn to be meditating on the Word of God, just thinking about it, and not just thinking about it, but letting it sink into their walk, and so that they, by word, our God and Father, we just pray too that they would have spiritual energy and to continue on despite the circumstances that they may be in, and that they would put on the whole armor of God to withstand the devil. And as well, the many other lessons that we learned with the birds, that they would have their focus heavenward, their thoughts wouldn't be on fleshly things down on this earth. And so we just pray for each one of these boys and girls, just help them and all of us here as adults as well. We just pray these things in the most worthy and precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.